This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another installment of Search and Deploy, a Foundation Digital and Rainmaker.fm podcast publication here on the Copyblogger Network. Last episode, we talked a bit about content marketing and distributing content out there to really get the links and citations that your business is looking for to help with overall search. But you know, one thing that we didn't really get into and that I alluded that we'd be talking about in the future was really building true press and publisher relationships in an effort to get your news or your content or your studies picked up by some of the top influential sites, networks, and news organizations out there that are really all craving content right now. So with me today, I have John Rampton, a man who wears many hats, some funny, some silly, and some all over the place. So John has a background in search. He's a serial entrepreneur, yet he also is a published journalist/blogger on some of the top sites and publications out there right now, especially in the business realm. So, John, welcome to Search and Deploy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, I want to just before we get started, I just want to talk about the first time I met you. Yep. It may have been the second time, but it was the first time we actually had a real conversation. I was in JFK, and we were in the JetBlue hub. And I was doing a flight out of New York to L.A. So I was sitting there talking with some colleagues in the terminal. I'm not sure if you remember this or not. And you kind of walked over after Affiliate Summit and you introduced yourself. And, you know, it was really nice because we had interacted online multiple times, right? And then I was pretty sleepy, so probably grabbed a coffee or something like that and got on the plane. And I was in the very front, kind of scrunched in between a couple of folks, as you do when you're flying from one coast to the next. So about 30 minutes into the flight, you walked up and let me know that there were some extra exit row seats open in the back of the plane. And I think we kind of hit it off from there. So thank you for that.
Anytime.
Yeah, you probably saved me a couple blood clots and got me sleeping for a little bit of that flight. And I thought to myself, you know, what a great way to, I don't know if you were pitching me at the time or just friendly or just trying to make that connection. But I was thinking to myself, not only what a nice dude, but also kind of a great way to make that first interaction memorable. Right.
Yeah.
By helping someone out. And I was talking to Neil Patel the other day about like some of his secrets around online marketing. And one of the things he said was like his biggest secret is just to help people. So, John, thanks for helping me on that flight. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Love helping people.
So to get started out, how about a quick introduction of yourself, John? Because I really don't know where to start. You have so many things going on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm John Rampton. I'm an entrepreneur. That's the easiest way to say it. I am the founder of Due.com, D-U-E.com. I also have my own personal site, johnrampton.com, where I, you know, ramble on about stuff. And, I'm located in Silicon Valley. I've had some successes. I've had some losses. And, I'm having fun along the way. So, and I mean, biggest thing about me and what most people find out pretty quick is I do love helping people. I find that the more you help people, that the more you get out of life, one, but the more people trust you and are willing to help you out in the long term.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're pretty well published from what I hear.
Thanks. Yeah. I write for entrepreneur.com, Forbes, Inc., Huffington Post, as well as, you know, a lot of other sites.
So if you're writing for Forbes, for Inc., for Entrepreneur and Huffington Post, I'm sure, you know, like, I've been pitching people for years, man. And like when I started out, I didn't know what I was doing. Like I had signed up for, and this was back in the day, I was just doing some initial link building and trying to build buzz for actually a tool called UC More, which ended up evolving into Conduit, toolbar service over the years. But they had launched something called Effective Brand, and I was pitching. My job was to do PR, and I was pretty young at the time, and the internet was pretty young too, but I was pitching a lot of different websites on Effective Brand, which is basically a toolbar that you could build with your own brand and distribute to your readers or your fan base or your audience. And so I joined Peter Shankman's Young PR Pros Yahoo newsletter, and that's really where I cut my teeth, and I started pitching people. And I started doing like little surveys, and sometimes when I first started, I would pitch people right off the bat, like, this is a great toolbar, you really have to check it out, you should download it. And some of the responses I got back were not positive, right? It was just very, you know, why are you trying to sell me this? Why are you trying to do this? And now that I look back at it in retrospect, there was probably a lot of mixed messaging to the emails I was sending out. And then sometimes I would have success, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I pitched a lot early on, and I kind of learned what to do and what not to do. And then, like you, like, I'm behind some publications, right? So I get pitched myself, and that's a great way to learn. But, you know, how many pitches would you say that you get a day in your email box?
Easily 20. Okay. Like 20 legitimate pitches
a day. How many of those 20 do you actually read and take action upon?
You know, I probably glaze over every single one. Yeah, I legitimately like helping people. Actually writing about, most of the time it's zero. You know, if they do a really good pitch, I'll write them back. Sometimes I'll ask them for more information, the really, really good ones, but most of the time it's no.
So if you're getting, say what, 140 email pitches per week, right?
Yep.
What can someone do, whether they're representing a product, whether it's a press announcement or a news announcement, or whether they're just trying to get you to link to them or something like that? What can they do to really cut through that noise? Because that's a lot of emails to read at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is a lot of emails.
Especially
I mean,
when you have a lot of other things going on, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so the people that I feel that cut through the noise, truly are people that go above and beyond. You know, people that write an amazing pitch. First of all, you know, I have on my site, so like johnrampton.com/contact, I have like, here are my rules for pitching. And you can find out within 10 seconds whether they have followed my rules or not. So if they haven't followed my rules, I'm just going to kind of disregard them. If they've followed my rules, I usually almost always respond to those people. And usually people are like, ha ha, I followed you on social media. I stalked you a little bit. Because I always say, hey, you should follow me on social media. You should get to know what I write about. You should really know me.
Right.
Because if you pitch me, you know, a payday loan company, and I've never talked about that in my life, it's not something that I care about. So don't waste my time with an email.
And waste your own time too, right?
Yeah, don't waste your own time. I mean, you're wasting 5-10 minutes on that. And that's 5-10 minutes you'll never get back. And you'll wait and you'll be like, oh, I think he's going to respond. No way. But I mean, those that are like, oh yeah, I read your rules, I think they're awesome. You know, I have this cool company that I'm working on this. You know, you've written about this type of stuff like 2 or 3 times, you know, Here's a free account. I already set you up. Log in with this information. Like, things like that go just, the person's like, that will at least get my attention.
So let's deconstruct what you just said. So you're writing all over the place, right?
Yep.
But you mentioned that you have your pitch rules on your website. So what I'm getting from this is that If I see that you or someone else is a writer writing on multiple blogs, you may actually have your own site where you have your own contact information.
Correct.
Where I don't have to go through the publication that you're contributing to or bother you on Twitter.
Correct.
And you also have some best ways to contact me right on your site that can be read.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, so
I actually find so many different, like, for example, everybody wants to be on TechCrunch, especially if you're in the tech world. Yeah. Like, if you go to most of the TechCrunch writers, they have their email right there. Mm-hmm. They maybe don't publish like I do, saying, "Hey, here are my rules." But most people make themselves pretty available out there to pitch, because that's how they make money. That's how they make their livelihood is reading these and finding the best stories.
Did I ever tell you how I met Sarah Perez, by the way?
No.
So Sarah's from Tampa, right?
Yep.
I think it's still her handle. And yep. I don't know if she was with TechCrunch at the time or Read Write Web, but yep. I had followed her, and of course I had connected with her on Twitter because of her handle, right? Sarah in Tampa. I'm like, hey, she's in Tampa. So I invited her to a couple of different meetups. I had started a blogging meetup at the time, and I think she lived in Wesley Chapel or one of these towns that's like a suburb or about 20 minutes outside of town. So I never met her in person.
Yep.
But I recognized her from Twitter and her articles and stuff like that. So one day I'm at the mall with my wife and my boy, who was a newborn at the time. He was probably about 5-6 months old. So I guess a toddler, not a newborn. But we're outside of in the Tampa Mall. In the walking area, there's like a Starbucks kiosk with all of these chairs and sofas around it, right? My son had dutied in his diaper, and my wife had this thing about publicly changing kids' diapers. Some moms do it, some don't, but my wife did. So maybe it wasn't a duty, maybe it was the other, maybe it was number one. But story is, we're sitting there on the sofa, right? Or the little bean chair or whatever. And my wife is pulling down my toddler's diaper and changing it. And I'm looking around thinking, oh my God, I'm sitting here in the middle of the mall. I hope I don't see any of my staff or any of my clients or someone I know. And I look over to my left and there's this, girl, I guess lady, sitting there right next to me. And I'm thinking to myself, I recognize her. Where do I know her from? And I'm looking and looking and I look at her Starbucks cup and it has Sarah written on it. So I sent her, I didn't say anything at the time, but I sent her an email later and it's like, or maybe it was a DM, right? I'm like, Sarah, were you at the Tampa Mall the other day? And was there a lady sitting next to you changing a baby's dirty diaper? And she replies, yes, how did you know? Like, I was right there. That was me. That was my wife and my kid. And we were sitting right next to you. So we kind of like traded some DMs and hit it off from there. But that's how I know Sarah. And I know you had mentioned her name a couple times in the past.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give you that tidbit.
That's funny.
Yeah. So anyway, you have your rules, right? A lot of writers have a lot of writers out there are freelance writers, right? So they're marketing themselves at the same time.
Correct.
So you have your site with your rules. What would you say is rule number one? And how many rules do you have, by the way?
I actually don't even remember. Let me check. I believe I have 5 rules.
Okay. So the 5 golden rules of pitching.
I have 3.
3. That's easy,
yep,
man.
3.
That's easy to remember.
So my golden rules is number one, I'm human. I like being flattered. The more you flatter me and tug at my heartstrings, the more I'm likely to respond to you. You could start by following me on social media and being an active part of my community.
Okay.
Do this before contacting me. You could see my links easily on my site. So do that before coming to me. Rule number 2, I get pitched 15 to 20 times a day. If you're going to pitch me a company or story, please keep it brief. Sum up what you do in the first sentence or I'll stop reading. This isn't me being a jerk. It's me conserving all my time for other emails I receive and other things I have to do.
Okay. So what I'm getting from that is get everything you need to say in that first sentence, right?
Correct.
Because you don't have time to scroll down.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, one thing. So, Dave McClure famous guy, 500 startups. Yep. He's a big Silicon Valley guy. He has this rule, 3 to 5. You need to be able to explain what your company does in 3 to 5 words. So if you can't describe what your company does fully in 3 to 5 words, you need to work on that. Mm-hmm. So I recommend people start with that, because 3 to 5 words, if you can explain everything that your company does in 3 to 5 words, I mean, you will go somewhere.
Do you have an example of that, by the way? I'll talk your ear off trying to explain my company. So I'm probably in like the 100-word sector. Okay, Nike, just do it.
Yeah, just Perfect. Do it. I mean, Airbnb is find a place to stay. I mean, for example, my company, Do, online invoicing company.
Simple enough, right?
I mean, simple. Yep. I mean, it explains everything that we do in 3 words. So many company, I mean, Uber, peer-to-peer rides.
Does it?
Lyft, point A to point B.
Okay, so I mean,
stuff like that.
We got the concise, right? First sentence. Yep. Have your attention. Rule number two. What's rule number three?
So kind of with number two, let me just finish that. Like, one other thing with rule two is I get asked for just 5 minutes of my time several times a day. And if I gave 5 minutes to a million people, like, my wife would hate me.
Can you do this real quick favor for me? Can you?
Yeah. Or, hey, do you just have 5 minutes of your time for this email? Stop asking me for 5 minutes. Yep. Never takes 5 minutes. And don't take it personal. Number three, I love seeing companies grow and being part of their success. It gives me a high that I can't live without. I mean, truly, it gives me like this thrill. If you have what it takes, make it amazing. Keep in mind, I mean, I always say, if people want consulting or things like that, I'm the most expensive consultant in the world. You won't find anybody more expensive than me. And I mean, that comes with your time and stuff like that too. So, you know, if you want to work with me, you know, just know that I'm expensive.
There you go. We have the most expensive consultant on the world here on Search and Deploy, who does not have 5 minutes for almost anyone, but we're going to have you for almost a half an hour giving free information to listeners, right?
So that's the value here. I mean, I consider my time, you know, very, very valuable. And every person listening to this, you know, you should consider your time very valuable too, because you'll never get it back. So, you know, my recommendation is, you know, find something that works to conserve as much time as possible for the things and ones you love the most.
So, okay, I have my product or whatever my story is, right? Yeah. And I have my first sentence, I have my perfect subject line. I am in that sentence, I can define myself, and I'm proving to you that I'm a growing company and I'm legit. Or improving to the world, right? So,
yep, correct.
Where do we start from there?
So I mean, I would say even before you start this, make sure that I write about this. So if I don't write about, you know, Fusion, you know, don't pitch me Fusion, because I'm never going to write about it. So that's before you start. You know, next is flatter me, get to know me. After that, you know, make sure you pitch the story, 3 to 5 words in the first sentence. After that, I like telling a little bit about the competition. Obviously, I pitch more in the tech world and I know the tech world a little bit more. So tell me a little bit about your company, what you do in the next, you know, two sentences. Tell me who your competition is and how you differ from your competition. I also like, you know, a little bit after that. I mean, that's kind of all I would send in my first pitch email, is a little bit about my company, why I make a difference in some of the competition, and why the hell I matter. If I respond to that, then you can tell me, you know, like, oh, I compete with, you know, Uber, who's raised $10 billion. Or I compete with this little company that raised $500,000. Or, you know, here or there. You tell me, like, because that proves a little bit more, like, this is my competition, and here's why I'm better than them. Because that's a real story to me, being like, oh, you know, you're a company that has gotten 100,000 customers in the past 6 months, which is more than your competition who raised $5 million 3 months ago. Like, that's a real story. Like, prove to me that you have a real story, not, hey, I'm launching a new product feature. I don't care about product features. I care about helping features. How are you helping and changing the world?
Is there still any value or competitive advantage, or not competitive, but advantage to offering an exclusive or an embargo?
Yes. Embargo, not as much, but exclusive, yes. So, you know, I don't get a ton of exclusives because I don't write about a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're pitching a TechCrunch, a VentureBeat, a Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Mashable, and a lot of bigger, huge publications that talk about that type of stuff, they will require those. And if you don't have those, most of the time, they won't even look at you.
So how do you know who to give the exclusive to?
So typically when I'm pitching an exclusive, say my company's just raised $5 million, right? I'm most likely going to go to somebody that I know. And this is where I pitch PR professionals. I typically don't like PR people, even though I do a lot of PR work. But, you know, I don't pitch PR people except in the circumstance where you really need PR. You know, then I'm like, you know, it's the relationships. If you have a relationship and you've been stalking, that's what I always call it, because it really is stalking, but getting to know and established a relationship / friendship with a reporter, you know, go to the relationships that you have, because they're going to be a lot better than just pitching some random person. The likelihood of, even if you just raised $5 million for your company, the likelihood of you getting written about by a cold pitch is slim to none. You need to have a relationship there. But exclusivity really helps.
Does stalking lead to a relationship, right? Like if I'm following that person, liking their stuff, retweeting them, learning about them, how do I turn that into not being a weirdo, but being a friend or someone that I recognize?
This may sound horrible, but stalking leads to knowing where a person is going to be at. Mm-hmm. And putting forth the right thing to be able to meet that person.
Okay.
The more you can have a personal relationship, for example, here's a good one that I have. I wanted to write for Forbes, and I had wanted to write for Forbes ever since I was literally a kid.
Yeah.
And I had applied. I'd gotten, you know, so Bruce Upin, he is the managing editor of Forbes and basically the gatekeeper. He says, you write for Forbes, you write for Forbes. And I had like 3 introductions to him. I'd done this, you know, I'd send him an email. I'd written the most, like literally I probably wrote like 50 amazing posts. And he had been sent all of them. Like I'm talking like 6 months, 8 months worth of work, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't work out. No, he didn't. I mean, he responded, send me this and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm not faulting him or, you know, saying he's a jerk or anything like that, man. He gets probably pitched to be a writer like 1,000 times a day.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Easily. But so then I got really into stalking, and I found out that there was going to be a Forbes party exclusively for Forbes writers.
Okay.
In San Francisco.
So you stole a tuxedo and a tray full of champagne and walked around the party, right?
And I walked up. And I looked on the list and found, this is horrible. And this is like, I don't, you know, always recommend this. Doesn't always work out because I've tried it 2 other times and it's only worked 2 of the 3. But I walked up and I saw somebody's name on the list and I just said that name and they're like, okay, go past. And I walked past and I got into the party somehow. I mean, literally, it was a little sleazy. But I got to know him and I'm like, hey, Bruce, you know, I was this. And he's all, I don't know you. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of snuck into the party, but you know, I really want to write for you and I'm really good. And look, I know this person, and this person, because I had established more of an online relationship. I knew 2 of the people personally, but then I knew like 2 or 3 others, like one of the guys who actually started Forbes, like Forbes.com, the main original guy. I'd read like 10 of his posts and he was passionate about this. I never met him before, but I went and talked with him and I said, hey, I really liked this post. Like I was super prepared for this meeting. Like I'd been preparing for it for like 6 months, but I knew like 2 or 3 of his posts, like from heart. And I'd read countless of them. So I'm like, yeah, I really like this. And I got to know him. And then literally I'm like, oh yeah. And I talked with Bruce and I said, hey, I know this person. And you know, I've been friends with those couple guys and you know, I know the guy who started it, you know, him and I just had a really good conversation. And Bruce is like, oh, okay, so you want to write for me? And I was like, yeah, I really want to write for you. You know, what can I do to get set up? And he's all, you know, just shoot me an email. So I shot him an email the next day. And it took me another month after meeting him to finally get set up. And it ended up like the way I got a hold of him personally was over Twitter. And that was all he, I found that that was his way, method of communication. Now it's not, but at the time that was how he communicated. Right. So you have to find these little things out and really, like, again, stalking leads to figuring out kind of where people are. Cause you know, they're going to be like, you can go to websites and see that they'll be at an event and go to the event and try and find that person and plant the seed. And then when you see them again, be like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, it takes a lot of work, but you know, if you can foster that relationship, a personal relationship will get you 10 times further than anything. It's the same with like Entrepreneur Magazine. Like I've written for them for a long time, but like I flew out to, like I met one of the editors at a conference. I'd been kind of stalking him for a while. And then I flew out to another conference and met them. And I was like, hey, I would love to start writing. And he's like, all right. So I emailed him a week later and I said, hey, I'm going to be in New York in 2 weeks. I'd love to go out to lunch. And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be fun. What dates? And I'm like, I'm here this day. And he's all, I can't do lunch. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be there for the next 3 or 4 days. And he's like, all right, let's go on this date. So I booked a plane ticket and I flew out there. Nice. Like I made a trip out of it because that was worth it to me to foster that relationship. And now that personal relationship is actually one of the strongest relationships I have. And it kind of started with stalking, but that I wouldn't necessarily be like, I mean, it does sound stalkerish, but it was getting to know that person and know, you know, so I could make that personal connection.
Yeah. It's kind of like preparing your networking, right? Before you go to an event, before you go to PubCon or SMX or whatever, you typically want to find out who's there. You do a search for the hashtag on Twitter. You make your little list of the top 4 or 5 people you want to connect with, and you make it a point to, you know, walk up to them at the networking party or maybe talk to them after their presentation or something like that. Right.
So yeah. I mean, the more you can put, and this goes with press in general, like it leads back to those relationships. The more relationships you can have, the better. You know, it's hard to establish a relationship over email. And that's where I feel a lot of people when they're pitching press get it wrong. Like it, the people who have met me are 1,000 times more likely to get a story about them than somebody that's just cold pitching me email. You really have to tug at my heartstrings to be able to get a story out of me.
You know, Christoph Semper, right?
Yep.
I was, for a while there, I don't know if he does it anymore or not, but he used to run Facebook advertising campaigns where the image was a picture of his face and he would run them before conferences. So he would run an ad campaign and target the, you know, really the personas of the types of people he wanted to connect with at a conference. And of course he always has like, he has a suite of different tools. So sometimes they have a booth, sometimes they advertise or whatever, but he would run the campaign with his face and of course his orange jacket that he usually wears. And, you know, people would just walk up to him that had never met him before and feel comfortable having that conversation, not realizing that they've probably seen him thousands of times every time they log into Facebook, right? So it's just like one of those things, right? Of getting yourself out there and, you know, really getting the people's comfort zone too. You know, that's cool. What about commenting on blogs? Have you gotten much of a response from that when you're trying to connect with others or when others are trying to get your attention?
You know, I have a lot of people comment, not as many people comment on that. And that's not like the biggest one, but you know, a comment for me is like just a little bit of extra recognition. And it's not necessarily that I'll care, but when I meet you and after, if I recognize your name and I'm like, if you're like, oh, I read this article, I commented on it, you know, great thing. It's a lot more valuable of a connection. Because I might have seen your name or even responded to you.
Or you can pretend that you saw it, right? You'd be like, oh,
yeah, I remember. I mean, which is most likely going to be the case. But at the same time, like when I get a comment every now and then, I'm going to look back because almost at all comment systems email the author.
Exactly.
So at least I will see your name.
Yep.
And that's like just another little like, hey, when you send an email, I'm like, man, I swear I've read this name. You don't even have to remind me. I actually wouldn't be like, oh yeah, and I commented on three of your articles. No, don't do that. Like you're, yeah, that's not really the greatest. And you're losing the purpose of it. But I will recognize your name.
Really goes back to personal branding at the end of the day, right?
Correct.
The more you can get your face, your name, your brand in front of the people that you want to be colleagues with or influence or connect with or, you know, I guess become friends with to a degree. I mean, I'm friends with most people that I work with. Probably my only friends, to tell you the truth. But it's one of those things where you can just kind of build your following and your audience and just really get in front of who you want to market to. And, you know, so when you do walk up to someone at that networking party or break into the party or even like go to the coffee shop downstairs from the BuzzFeed offices and you see that one writer you want to talk to, and, you know, maybe they may recognize, and it does, it gives you more of a, you know, your foot in the door, right? It's like old PR publicist thing. Like I've never really met a publicist who's an introvert. The beauty is with, the internet, introverts can become extroverts.
Yeah.
Any last, maybe like three final takeaways to give to the Search and Deploy audience on how to help our friends out there get coverage, get noticed by influential writers, or get a story about something happening with their business?
So, just tips that I would give in general is the more personal touch you can have on things, the better. Really get to know what the person you're pitching behind it writes about. Again, if you pitch somebody something and they don't write about it, it's a waste of your time and especially theirs. But, additional tips that I would give is, you know, really focus on not on products, but on solutions and what problems you're solving. Because if you're trying to pitch, you know, here's these five problems that I'm solving, or here's these five products that I have. Which are people going to write about? They're going to write about problems that you're solving and the solutions that you're really solving.
Okay.
So write about a problem and how you're really solving that. Uber is solving the problem that people don't have cars. They need to get from point A to point B, and we all hate taxi drivers.
Yes, we do.
So they're solving that problem. But, you know, if they'd come out and been like, we want to start another cab company, would anybody have cared? Not really, but they came out like out of the forefront and said, you know, we're trying to change this. We're trying to add accountability to it. And it worked. And they're, you know, a large company and there's so many other companies out there, you know, in that same circumstance that they're dominating huge markets by just solving simple little problems. And they really focus. And that's one that I love Uber, like, Uber and Lyft and all those companies, but that's a huge, you know, problem that they're solving and what they have really focused on. We want accountability.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, because of Uber and Lyft, I sold my second car.
Yeah, same.
You know, I just don't need it. I don't ever use it. If I need to go somewhere, I can just hail an Uber X, and I'm saving money at the end of the day on insurance, on space to store the vehicle. Yep. And maintenance, right? It's great. Before we go, there's one point I want to bring up, and I just realized it. We're doing a podcast about getting buzz, getting mentions, getting PR, and we have the word press release has not come up once.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't even – how do you pronounce that? Press release?
Press release.
Is it French? It just doesn't, you know, press is changing. I mean, the way people are doing things is evolving. And I think the press release is dying because there's so much garbage out there that anybody can release a press release. And all the people releasing press releases have nothing notable to put out there.
Do you remember press releases before the internet or before PR Web?
Oh, yeah.
They were short.
It's the only way you were able to get your message out.
They were short. They were like one paragraph, three bullet points, and then contact information.
That's correct.
And then PR Web came out and SEO and got a hold of it, right?
Yeah.
And killed that. But great. That's another discussion for another time. I'm really glad, actually, we did not bring up the WordPress release during this podcast. And really appreciate your time, John. Thank you so much for joining us today on Search and Deploy. You know, again, where can people find you online? Where can our listeners find you and connect with you online?
You know, I'm just johnrampton.com, my first name and last name.com/contact. You know, you can just go to my .com, or I'm at John Rampton on Twitter and plus John Rampton, and that's how you get a hold of me.
Great. So thanks a lot, John. And one last tidbit out there for listeners. If you want to get the attention of press, invite them to do a podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. I really appreciate it. And again, thank you for listening to Search and Deploy. This has been Lauren Baker, Search and Deploy, a Foundation Digital and Rainmaker.fm production.
Thanks, guys.